Our reading this morning is Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. I've had a very good weekend. I've been at Camp Sumatanga on what is called an Emmaus Walk. It's a three-day short course in Christianity that just kind of looks at the way that God offers a relationship of love to us, looks at the ways that we can respond to that love, and looks at a life that has responded to that love and what that life looks like. Terry Milstead, one of our pastors, is there right now. We were both working this walk as spiritual directors. I came back late last night, and she will come back tonight after closing. But one of the things that we do each night in the Emmaus Walk weekend is have an examination of conscience. And we have different ways that we do that. But last night, the spiritual directors were in different places, and we had some of the pilgrims on the walk, if they wanted to come and talk to a spiritual director and pray with a spiritual director. And I had a woman to come and spend some time with me, and I was so glad that she did, because I have never in my life ever had someone that has had the unique experience in life that Nancy has had. She's now in her early 50s. But when she was 8 years old, she was thrown off a horse. And she had brain damage to some degree, well, really to a major degree. And talking to her now, you would really not know it. She's a beautiful woman, and she talks, laughs, just like everybody else. But at that time, she lost her memory of how to do anything. I mean, literally, she had to learn words. She had to learn to talk again at almost 9 years old. She had to learn to eat. She did not know how to use a fork or a spoon or anything. She lost her memory of how to do any and everything. And she did not know anyone at that point. She did not know her father. At that point, she did not know her mother. And having to start all over without any memory that she had had. And one of the things that she had to deal with, too, was her faith, her relationship with a God. She was baptized just like Natalie was when she was a baby. Her family brought her, and she was reared in church and was always in Sunday school and vacation Bible school. And she heard stories about Jesus as she was growing up in home and church, and her parents had told her all through her life that she was a child of God, and she knew that, and she talked about that, and then all of a sudden, this injury wiped all of that out. She had some other physical problems along the way, seizures very often, and brain surgery just a couple of years ago that just about wiped the seizures away. She's had one since the brain surgery. But as I was listening to her, I was just thinking, as I looked into her eyes, I do not have a clue what it must have been like to be you throughout your life. And she still has a lot of problems with that. And a lot of it just goes back to having lost everything that took place in her life up until that point. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine? And she kept looking at me and saying, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I could do nothing. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't. I mean, it's hard to understand. And one of the things that she has had to do over time is to re-present, re-experience things like Jesus' claim upon her life. Just as Natalie was claimed a while ago, baptism is a time where each of us are supposed to hear a commissioning of us, an initial commissioning of our relationship to God that goes something like this: "You are my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased." Now, those are exact words, almost, that were given to Jesus at his baptism by his Father. And more than it being a baptism of repentance of sin, Jesus' baptism and subsequently our baptism as well was a kind of commissioning where we are to hear, "You belong to me. I love you, and you bring me a great deal of pleasure. But from this point on, you belong to me," which means that I am in charge of your life. You're not a free spirit out there who has come into this world and is now saying, "What is it that I want to do with my life? Who is it that I want to be? What is it that I want to have and accomplish?" You see, because there's a lot of this world that believes that that's the way that it works, that we're basically animals, that we have this bundle of appetites, and we have this kind of freedom that just allows us to do whatever we want to with our life. And so the primary question in life is this: what do I want to do with my life? But if you are claimed by God, that is not the question. If you have been chosen by God, that cannot be the question. If you are a child of God, the question is, what does God want to do with my life? The question is, what does my Father tell me to do with my life? And that is always where we are. And the dynamic of this is to move from a sense, although we all have freedom of choice, our freedom of choice basically is to position ourselves before God as one who has been claimed and chosen and is now in a relationship with God where we're asking, what does that mean? What do you, Father, want to do with my life in that brief time that I'm here in this earthen vessel with this soul that you gave me, this life that begins certainly in this earthly tent but continues on for eternity? Because whatever I do, I want it to be what you have called and commissioned and chosen me to do, so that what I am doing in this life will be very much like what I'm going to be doing in the next life as well throughout eternity. And there's a big, big difference in the two perspectives that says, what do I want to do, and one that says, what does God want me to do? Big, big difference. Because to say that you're bound only by your choice is to deny the fact that you have ends and roles, that you have purposes, that you have reasons for being here that you are to fulfill. Nancy, last night, over and over, she kept saying, I want to do something significant with my life. You know, that's the thing that I miss most. I want to fulfill a purpose in my life. I want to make a difference in this world. And that's exactly where we all need to be. Because if we belong to God, if we belong to Jesus Christ, that is exactly what we're asking. How can I, as a child of God, make a difference in this world? Make life better. Make it different from the way that it would have been had I not been here to bring the feet, the heart, the hands, the head of Jesus Christ. When I was talking with Nancy last night, she said, you know, I'm relying on the armor of God to help me. And I don't know whether you remember or not, but under the armor, built up to build up, is the theme of our stewardship campaign. And what we've done is to say, you know, what God calls us to do, what God commissions us to do, which, by the way, is basically the great commandment and the great commission. In one way or another, when you talk about your reason for being here, it involves that. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength as a result of His first love for us. To love our neighbor, not the way that this world loves their neighbor, but the way that Jesus Christ loves us and has called us to be in this world to love our neighbor. Not to reflect the way that the rest of the world is loving, because a lot of that is not even worthy of the word love. But also to grow, to be like Jesus Christ, and to reverse the way that everything in this world is done, where you're not asking, how can I receive, but you're asking, how can I give? You're not asking, how can I be served, but you're asking the question, how can I serve in the name of Jesus Christ? And if you're not asking that question, and if that's not the reason that you are here on this earth, then you've missed your purpose. You've missed your reason for being here. And we as a church would have missed our reason for being here too. If we're not here to serve instead of be served, if we're not here to go and share the good news of God's love that has been given to us in Jesus Christ as a part of our purpose in life, to go and to share that. And Nancy was saying last night in that, one of the things that we're saying is that we've had the helmet of salvation, we've had the breastplate of righteousness, we've had the sword of the word of the God, of God, and the Holy Spirit, but the shoes are what are given to us so that we can go and share this gospel, this love of God in Jesus Christ. And when we have the armor of God, the shoes are what equip us to go out and be people that aren't waiting for the gospel to come to us in other ways for the rest of our life, but are taking what God has given us and are taking it, you know, out to this world. And then you are equipped. And really what Nancy is feeling is the same thing that we all feel. Even though we did not tragically lose all of the memories of being nurtured in Jesus Christ as we grew up as children, we are, like her, remembering why we are here right now and how we can fulfill the purpose and the reason that God has us here. And I'm just going to remind you of two or three of those basic commitments that we have and that we really emphasize at this time of the year. One of them is time, one of them is talent, and one of them is resources. The three things that we are to use that we have in order to glorify God in Jesus Christ and to live out the purpose, the reason for our life that He gives us. And I just want to remind you of a basic perspective on life that stewardship alone gives us. In fact, if I were to take anything, including the word discipleship, following Jesus, I would not place it above the word stewardship or the meaning of stewardship in the life of a Christian. Because what stewardship means is that you don't have anything. God has everything. God owns everything. Which means all of your time is God's. Now, He expects you to use your time on this earth in many, many ways that are a part of His plan, His purpose for you, and the family that you grow up, and the children perhaps that you have, if you had children, and in life in this family. And maybe at some point you're going to give your life to other things too. Ask any soldier that is in this room. We're going to look at veterans in a couple of weeks and ask them, did you go and serve your country so you can make a little more money, so that you could have a little safer security in retirement, so that you could, you know, maybe widen your circle of friends? Is that why you put on that uniform and went into battle, willing to sacrifice your life, maybe, here? No. We all know that there are purposes in this world that are larger than that. Freedom is one of them. To have the rights and privileges of being a citizen of the United States of America comes with a sacrifice. And we give our life to that. We give our life to our identity as a part of the family in which we, from which we came. It matters to me that I honor Donald and Doris Formby, my parents, in the way that I live my life. It matters to me that I represent my family well. It matters to me that I represent my church well. Richard kind of explained a little bit about this being Reformation Sunday in our 9 o'clock service, where Martin Luther took on basically a whole perspective that says, if you do what God requires of you, if you achieve that, if you achieve a certain level of understanding, if you achieve a certain level of goodness and good works in your life, then you are in a right relationship with God. And Martin Luther came along and said, you know, we've missed all, I mean, we've gotten way off track here. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible tells us about grace. And so you had the Reformation, and you and I come out of that Reformation, and the big thing that we say is God's love is unconditional. It's not achieved. It is a gift given to us, and we respond to it. I want to represent that well, because if I don't represent it well, you're not going to know about grace. And a lot of people in this world are not going to know that God really loves them and that it is not based on how lovable you are. But nobody is to represent God the way that we are, because we are part of a church. We are to give our time, all of it, but a portion of it specifically to honor and to serve Jesus Christ, and to serve in the name of Christ, and to share in the name of the Christ, which is why the church is here. It's part of our purpose and reason for being here. Otherwise, there's no reason for being here, and your time is important, or that doesn't get done. And your talent is important, or that doesn't get done, because God has equipped all of us with different ways of honoring Him, different ways of serving Him, and it always has to do with the way that we serve this world. And you're to take what he has given you and use that in order to fulfill that purpose that he has for your life. And it's the same with resources. The stewardship perspective on our resources is that they're here to use. And the sooner you understand that all the money in the bank account, all the possessions that you have, your home, your cars, your clothes, your everything else that you need. You need certainly the necessities in all those things. We may not need all the luxuries that we have in a world that lives on basically $2 a day in American funds, while we live on what, you know, per day. But it doesn't go with you. Is here to be used for a while, and then you leave it. But there are some permanent things that you take with you, even into eternity. And those are the relationships that you have developed with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the relationships that you have with others in this world. And those are heavenly treasures, and those are permanent treasures, and they will go always. But everything else that you have that is a part of this earth will remain a part of this earth. You just use it for a while, and it is a gift from God, not something that you deserve. But you do get to use it for a while and then leave it and go on and take the permanent things to our Lord.